This is a replay of the Thursday night, September 18th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday, evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together, and if it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. And a number of things, got some of your requests as well, but as I was saying, we tackled the topic of dogs and found out that America is actually number 7 per capita in dog ownership, and that was interesting. But how about the strangest pets in history? And before we get there, a little preamble. Pets have been around for, long before recorded history, obviously. No one knows exactly when. We know that supposedly dogs were the first domesticated animals. I say that because who knows what happened before that. But our ancient ancestors could have kept God knows what before that. However, once wolves turned into our faithful companions, Well, at this point, dogs are in 65.1 million American households. Cats, number 2, found in 46.5 million households. But every now and then you hear about somebody owning something out of the norm. Yeah, and usually paying for it in different ways. But if you were wondering, behind dogs and cats come freshwater fish, small animals, for the kids, hamsters, gerbils, rabbits, and then birds. But among the most popular category of pets are animals that would be, shall we say, uncommon. Yeah, every now and then you come across someone who owns a chinchilla or a ferret, unless they're in California where they're illegal, a fancy guppy, a cockatiel, or God knows, saltwater fish, and that takes a degree in chemistry. But we have an article here that History has put together, historyfacts.com, on 10 of the weirdest animals people in history have owned. People who were known at the time, not Bob Smith or whoever, although that was a name. But okay, so what do we have first? We have an eel. Lucius Licinius Crassus had an eel. And he, by the way, was one of the greatest orators of ancient Rome. And he had a beloved pet. And that pet was an eel that he trained. He trained the eel to respond to its name, even adorned it with earrings and small necklaces. Yeah, but he can be outdone. Or then they have normal things like Danish astronomer Tycho Brahe. Not that he was normal. In fact, he lost his nose over a duel about a mathematical formula. But he was the keeper of, this would be perfect for you two today, a clairvoyant dwarf named Jep. He also had a pet elk. And although at the time, and I don't know who kept track of this, others claimed it was a moose. And they know that he had this pet because it would attend feasts and banquets with him. And unfortunately, at one feast, the elk drank too much beer, took a fall down the castle stairs, and that was it. Yeah. Then we have Gerard de Nerval's lobster. Yes, they make interesting pets. He was a romantic poet, don't you know? And those who are into poetry say he was a major influence on symbolist and surrealistic movements. But he was found, I mentioned he had a pet lobster, but he was found walking the pet lobster. had a name, Tybalt, on the end of a blue silk ribbon through the Palaisian Royal in Paris. When asked, he said, "I have an affection for lobsters. They're tranquil, they're serious, and they know the secrets of the sea." All right, then. Yeah, we have Empress Josephine's orangutan, but that happens now and then again. And Lord Byron's bear, and as far as I'm concerned, he had good taste and had the time to tame one, so good for him. Teddy Roosevelt apparently had a horde of pets when he moved into the White House. Yeah, a lizard named Bill, a blue macaw called Eli Yale, Baron Spreckle the hen, Maud the pig, a one-legged rooster, a barn owl, and various guinea pigs. With names, Admiral Dewey and Fighting Bob Evans. And if that wasn't strange enough, they also had a badger. That was Josiah, and a small black bear named Jonathan Edwards and a hyena called Bill. So that's a whole litany of pets. But then there was Calvin Coolidge. All I can figure is Calvin Coolidge must have had some household help. You know, maids of some sort. Because if you're going to have a pet raccoon, you need help. No doubt about it. Well, apparently, supporters of his in 1926 sent him a live raccoon. And what they were thinking is the first one would kill it and eat it. But instead of the sacrifice, the Coolidge family decided to keep it as a pet. That was Rebecca. And they built a house for Rebecca. Rebecca was allowed to roam the White House and accompanying gardens. Can you imagine roaming? I don't know if you've ever known anybody who had a raccoon, but the bottom line is you not only have to child-proof every possible cabinet, but there's so many other things, because the raccoon, while so cute, will destroy anything it encounters. Then we have Salvador Dali. You expect him to have something, so it may not surprise you that he had an ocelot. That's right, that was Babu. And he claimed that the medium-sized spotted wildcat was a gift from the president of Colombia, who must not have liked him, because the ocelots are known to eat people. And apparently, in the 1960s, he took Babu everywhere he went, safely secured on a leash and a studded collar, of course. And then, not to be outdone, Josephine Baker, a little earlier on, had a cheetah. And yes, American-born French dancer and singer and sensation in Paris in the 1920s. And yeah, she was also, by the way, the first African-American woman to star in a major motion picture. And so on stage, she was often accompanied by her co-star, which was a pet cheetah. That was Chiquita. And Chiquita became a star in her own right, a diamond collar, leaping into the conductor's pit during live performances. Yeah, that's where you wonder if the musicians didn't get overtime. And finally, Audrey Hepburn. It's so sweet, she had a deer. Yeah, and I don't think that's legal, actually, at least in the United States of America. Kind of like it's in Australia, you can't keep pet kangaroos. TV shows claiming you can, notwithstanding. But apparently, Audrey was devastated when she and Ip, that was the deer, Ip, it was short for Pippin, had to part. And apparently her husband later tracked down Ip, and she took it in as her pet. So there you have it. So yeah, whatever it is you own, I think those 10 probably topped you. But that's just a topic starter of absolutely no import whatsoever, to give you time to call and tell me what's on your mind. 888-876-5593. And we'll see what's on David's mind in Muskegon coming up on WGN Radio.
You've got the moon, the sun, the stars in the sky, know the reason why I cry. Love divine once was mine, now you've gone. The love that I've tasted.
wasted. I was wrong. Now you've gone.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yes, it's Verlin Husky, 1960 on Capitol and Gone, and that was one of Robert and Stickney's requests. I got a few others. He wanted Live by Little. I was going to play the Nappy Brown, but I think something tells me he wanted Mickey Marlowe. Yeah, we sure don't hear that very often. Well, the one thing you won't hear is the crew cuts of that, I promise. All right, so we got David in Muskegon who will kick it off tonight, and, you know, there's plenty of room for you, too. Now, let me find the magic twanger. Yeah. I was ill-prepared for this show, to say the least, but thank God for Engineer Bob, or I'd really be babbling. All right, so David in Muskegon, welcome to WGN Radio. What's up?
Hey, Raleigh, I haven't been calling because I've been really sick.
What's wrong?
Oh, God, I had a virus. It was like food poisoning.
Oh, man, yeah, that's terrible.
I couldn't keep nothing down.
All right.
Yeah. And everything was coming out of my body, the front and back end.
Well, that's right. It's an explosion. And that's the time where you say to yourself, oh, my God, I'm afraid of dying. Oh, my God, I'm afraid of not dying. Yes, I understand.
Yeah, I was afraid of dying, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
They give me some stomach medicine, and I had to eat soup, electrolytes, so that my body would get those, you know, because of potassium.
Of course.
And I ate soup. And I'm getting better. It was a frightening situation. Now, and I've been working on a Good Time Oldies playlist. Remember, challenged me to make a Good Time Oldies playlist.
Well, I told you to do whatever you wanted as far as that goes, sure.
I did it.
Well, very good. And you can enjoy it then.
From 1955 that I could remember.
Okay.
Up through 1976.
Okay.
When AM radio, I believe, was at its zenith. Am I correct?
No. By 1976, AM radio was already being threatened in many areas by FM. And in fact, by 76, you were seeing a number of markets where the number one top 40 station was, in fact, on FM. So if you're talking about the zenith of AM, you're really talking about the 1960s. And, you know, preferably early to mid-60s especially, some in the 50s and some later, of course, but by the mid-70s, FM is a major player and leading many markets.
Okay. Was that in your large markets or your small markets as well?
Everywhere. You know, terrain was part of the situation because, for instance, the first standalone FM station to be bought and turned into Top 40 was 1971. Bartell bought George Storer's FM there in Miami and turned that into WMYQ. And that was the first time anybody bought a standalone FM and did that. And it did very well. But also, year before 1970, you had two radio stations that went to number one in their markets, smaller markets too, not with Top 40, actually with easy listening, but on FM. And that was Wood in Grand Rapids and a station in Palm Beach, both of which were running Schulke. But that was the first time FM topped a market entirely. So sure, by the mid-70s, no, I would never say that was the zenith of AM. Now, on the other hand, you take a place like a San Francisco, you know, any place loaded with hills, well, FM's not going to propagate very well comparatively. So, you know, in your Houstons or Miamis, man, no problem with FM. But, you know, you get to some place that has really hilly terrain and watch out. Now, the good news, the places that are surrounded by mountains, for instance, is you can put FM towers on top of them and get some great signal propagation that way. But
like in Colorado.
Number of places. New Mexico and Albuquerque, they've got Sandia Peak. Phoenix has South Mountain. Los Angeles has Mount Wilson. That's about 5,800 feet. So, sure, you see a lot of that, but if you're in a hilly area, the Seattles, the San Franciscos, to an extent, the Cincinnatis, FM's having a little harder time.
Yeah, because I was thinking, you know, like the zenith was 55 to 72, and it started to decline, but by after like 76, everything had changed over, it seemed like, to
right,
FM,
well,
basically.
Well, here's the most important part. Who cares?
Oh, that what I was thinking about in and radio's my thing. See,
that's fine.
And but what I was thinking of, you know, the good time oldies format that usually is from 55 up through 1976. The old good time oldies station. Am I correct?
I would advise you not to look at years, but to listen to sound, because there are real train wrecks if you're just going to cut it off by years. And there's many records that came out that belied the time they did. For instance, Then You Can Tell Me Goodbye by the Casinos came out in 1967, and I'll tell you, it sounds like it came out in 1957. So sound is more important than year. And the other thing, of course, is whenever you're talking about the 60s, you've got a decade with a schism, because the latter 60s, when album rock was in heavy metal and things like that. Well, a little precursor to heavy metal, but you know, alternative music. That was a lot different than 1960 when the number one song was Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini. So there are train wrecks if you're just going by years.
Okay, not to cut it off by year, but by song.
Yes, of course, by the sound of it. I don't care when the song was released. Does the sound orally blend with what else you're playing? Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are. And that's where we'll pick it up. We've got Ruth and Gurney, Bonnie and Butternut. We'll continue with David and, yes, Room for You Too on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Nappy Brown, that's the original. Came out in November of 1956. And Rosemary McCoy wrote that. And she was no slouch when it came to writing. But it came out on Savoy. So, yeah, Herman Levinsky's label. So it had some good R&B chops. But what was interesting, within a month, of course, it was covered by the Crew Cuts. Also covered by Mickey Most with the Don Costa Orchestra and chorus. And I'm not sure, but something tells me that was the version that Robert and Stickney, who requested it, wanted to hear. So an abbreviated request for him, because we won't play that much of Mickey Marlowe. But yeah, and by the way, half a dozen people did this, but almost all in 1956, almost all Wimpy White acts, but the original, Nappy Brown. All right, yeah, it doesn't hold a candle to Nappy Brown, let's face it. But all right, so at least Robert got to hear the original, and I hope he liked it. So we're back to David, and David is in Muskegon, and he's putting his own format together there for his enjoyment pleasure. Well, very good.
Yeah, I've been, are you there, Raleigh?
Yes, I am here.
Okay, yeah, I've been putting, because you suggested this, and I remember you saying something to me about it. I saw it, and I said, well, I'm going to try and do this, because I was complaining that I couldn't get, really, there's only like a couple good time oldies stations.
Right, that's right. So I said, just put together the songs you want to hear. So the nice thing about that is they're your rules. Nothing matters. It doesn't have to make sense. The only caveat is that you like it.
Yes. I was doing that, and then I was like, you know, if any station was interested, I said I could take
good
this.
Luck. Good luck on that. Just enjoy it yourself.
Okay, Riley, I'll do that. I'll enjoy it myself because I can set and list that playlist I made for hours.
Well, of course, that's why you made it. It should be your favorite songs, of course.
I got Chubby Checker on there.
Well, and that's your choice.
Yes, Dee Dee Sharp.
Yeah. Right.
I got the Supremes, everything from when Diana Ross was 13, she did a song called Your Heart Belongs to Me.
Uh-huh.
All the way up through Nathan Jones.
Okay.
I got the Beatles.
Well, whatever you like, that's the only only qualification for this. This is your playlist.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
It's mine, and because I know you was telling me that there's some things, you know, because I go by instrumentation and sound, too. And you're right on this, because, like, Brick House would go in there really good by the Commodores, 1977.
Yeah, well, Brick House it is. From that album, I like Zoom. That's my favorite. But there's, again, the only criteria is that you got to like it. You never have to explain it because it's your playlist. So don't overthink it. Just enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah, I really enjoy it. I can sit and listen to that and just listen to it.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy it.
Good.
Because, see, I got several different formats and different playlists I've made.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good.
I got it.
Again, I don't even think about it as terms of formats. Just whatever you like, you put together so you can hear it when you want to. That's all there is to it. You don't have to explain it. You don't have to defend it. It's yours.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's it. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, because when the radio gets sickening, you know, because they'll play the same songs over and over, I've noticed on a lot of the stations, I say, I want to do something where you're not going to hear the same song every 5-6 hours.
Well, that's fine, unless it's your favorite song and you want to hear it every 5 or 6 hours. But that's up to you.
Yeah, I make certain that I don't hear it every, you know, 5 or 6 hours.
Okay.
In rotation.
Okay. Well, there are some I want to hear every 5 hours. So, you know, it's anybody's taste is up for grabs. But, no, that's great. Don't overthink it. Just enjoy it.
Yeah, that's I certainly am. I can sit here and listen to music for, like, 5 or 6 hours and on my playlist, my oldies, and I just sit there and sometimes 7-8 hours and not hear the same song, you know, that you would hear on an oldie station. And I'll just sit here and just enjoy it.
That's
and
all
drink
that matters.
My coffee.
There you are. That's all that matters. All right.
I mean, and of course, I'm a radio buff and I'm a music fan because I love all kinds of music.
All right.
I mean, I like oldies.
Yeah.
I can go all the way back to like the Elegants.
Yeah, all the way back to the 1957, yes, on Apt. All right, well, very, very good. All right, so it says on the screen that you wanted to talk about WTRU. Why on earth would you want to do that?
I was curious because I was wondering, because a lady in the doctor's office telling me some of the songs they were playing. I was wondering, in 1977, I was curious about the top 10 on WTRU.
Well, they lost their dominance in the mid-70s, I would think. And for people who don't know, they became WTRU, and I think it was in the mid-50s. They had been KNK before because of the owner. Those were his initials, NK. And then they went to TRU, and for a number of years there, it was a damn influential station, the true spirit of America. And, so it was there. The call letters are now in North Carolina.
Yep. Yeah, they are. Because I remember, because Fred Tascone ran WTRU. It went to TalkNet in 1981.
Mm-hmm. At night, yes. At night, right. Yep.
I had it on, because I used to listen to it, TalkNet day and night. I'd put it on, I would listen to that a lot of times, besides WQFM out of Milwaukee, which was rock at that time. And then I would put that on, and I would listen to both of those, or WAPI out of Green Appleton. If I turned my antenna the right way, in Muskegon, I would I would sit and listen to, it was called Nightside, and they played what was called head music.
Okay. As long as you liked it.
Yes, and I really enjoyed that, and it was, I, of course, I had me a little buzz going, and...
All right. So, and, well, very, very good. So I'm sure that some of that influenced your playlists, and go for it. Just enjoy yourself, but don't overthink it.
Yeah, I'm not all going
right.
to,
all right.
oh, I guess, overthink it. You know, think too much. Am I doing this correctly?
Nick Curtis, that was his name. That was the NK. Nick Curtis. It was Curtis with a K. All right. I knew it would come to me. All right.
Yes.
So there it is.
I remember that. And then there was a company out of Ohio that bought that. When they went top 40,
yeah.
because them and GRD, WGRD, mm-hmm. out of Grand Rapids, were owned by the same company for up until 81.
Mm-hmm.
And Fred Tascone bought it and then sold it to Bob Goodrich in 1985, and it became WSNX.
Mm-hmm. And then went dark. But I did not know... that GRD was co-owned with TRU, but
yes.
But I won't question it. I just didn't know it. So
yeah, they were co-owned because Fred Tascone, believe it or not, with WTRU,
I vaguely remember
he would not play stuff that was too heavy because in the daytime he did not want to scare away advertisers.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to compete with GRD, which was top 40 on the FM, and then after 71. But before 71, GRD was just a daytime station, AM 1410.
Right, exactly. So I say 1410. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, excellent. And I think they're Spanish now. They're still on the air, unlike 1600 that's not. But, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Muskegon Radio, three of our four AM stations are off the air.
Yeah, it's sad but true, and especially with directional stations where there was a little bit of land involved in the tower site, very often the tower site was more worth more money than the radio station, so sign it off and sell the land. Very common. All right, well, good to talk to you, David. Enjoy your music.
Okay, I will.
Thanks, appreciate it. All right, so there you have it. 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. So, yeah, Nick Curtis, wonder what happened to him. Ruth and Gurnee, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Jew, Robbie, good evening. Mm. I am going to ask you for your permission because my phone may not last long enough, and I wanted to ring up something regarding dreams, a specific dream. And you caught a lot of callers the last time I asked about trivia on dreams. A lot of callers called in, and their dreams were very interesting that I listened to. But with your permission...
That's it? Well, there goes Ruth's phone, so I don't know what I'm giving permission for, but she'll call back when the battery is charged, no doubt. All right, so yeah, dreams. Plenty of books about them, and lots of disagreement. And what's the purpose? And then you start getting into... the purpose of our sleeping and where do we go? That's right. Does the spirit leave the body and go to the astral plane or God knows where? Yeah, I know my buddy Carol Ford, she had dreams routinely where she had a closet full of clothes. And they were in the dreams, they were always the same clothes, but they were not clothes that she actually owned when she was awake. And I know just how she felt because I had interstates. I had interstates and exits and stuff like that, always the same thing, or, you know, and downtown sections. And it was just only in dreams. So I don't know. Is it a dream or do we go there? Who knows? We'll get to Bonnie and Butternut. There's room for you, too, on WGN Radio.
She's sitting right there. I'd know that face anywhere. I'd run up and embrace her, but I'm ashamed to face her. Just tell her, Jimson, hello. I'd like to pour out my heart,
just tell her jeans and hello.
Just tell her Jim said hello. Just tell her Jim and she'll know.
Don't tell her I'm feeling blue. That's just between me and you. Don't say I'm thinking of her. Don't tell her I still love her. Just tell her Jim said hello.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Just that was another Robert and Stickney request. It was interesting. That was done in a two-night session in Nashville at RCAB in 1962. Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller wrote that. And, of course, since Elvis was going to cut it, you know it's published by Elvis Presley Music. Yeah, that was the kernel for you. But there were people who really thought Freddie Beanstalk, in fact, the publisher, was convinced that this was, like, the biggest record ever. And, of course, it didn't turn out to be the way. But that it was a star-studded session. I mean, Grady Martin and Harold Bradley and Scotty Moore and Bob Moore and Buddy Harmon, DJ Fontana, Floyd Kramer, Boots Randolph, I'm leaving out somebody, the Jordanaires in the background. And it was just a wonderful song. And like I say, Beanstalk was convinced that that was the good deal, but it wasn't. The other Lieber-Stoller composition, She's Not You, did, in fact, much better, and they weren't expecting that. And so that was a deal. Neither were million sellers, but nonetheless. All right. So that was for Robert. Now, 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Bonnie and Butternut, how's it going, Bonnie? Are you still with me, Bonnie? Don't tell me I lost Bonnie. Oh, no. I'm just too long-winded for my own good. So call back, Bonnie. Now, I'm counting on Gary, however, in Austin, to have waited. Yes. All right. So, Gary, don't prove me wrong. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, Raleigh, you are here. I am, as you can no doubt tell.
Yes, good.
But I was just thinking about playlists, and when I make playlists, and I haven't done it in quite a while, it's my computer has got some issues with it. But that's neither here nor there. But they would never make anybody's formatics work because they were songs I wanted to hear
exactly.
Or maybe the situation. I mean, there were people who might come by that I knew certain songs they'd like, and I'd throw a quick playlist together.
Yeah.
You know, maybe 40 or 50 songs, and, you know, I have one for, you know, for songs that Fran and I like, and, you know, playlist by format is just limiting so much. It's just should be songs you want to hear, songs you like, no matter what.
Well, of course, you know, I don't even go as far as calling them playlists. To me, they were always just car tapes. And usually 8 tracks. I stayed with 8 tracks so long because they were big. You just couldn't lose them in the car, you know? And so I thought that counted for so much. Size, men, everything. But never once did I. First, I never thought anybody else was going to hear it, which was, of course, part of the good news.
Yeah.
But also, what did I care what order it was in?
Yeah.
All right. Well, believe it or not, I blew the news, as usual. Bob keeps me honest, and I screwed it up again. So, right. So, you want to hang on, or are you going to hit and get?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
Yeah, no,
good.
I can hang on if you need me to.
Well, why not? Don't go away. All right. So,
okay.
That's where it'll be, and then we'll continue with Gary. And then Bonnie called back. So, all right. We will hopefully get to Bonnie as well. There's room for you too, but right now there's room for the news. WGN Radio. So here I've been sitting doing everything except getting bumpers ready. So I'll make up for that later. But we're talking to Gary in Austin until the news so rudely interrupted him. So back to Gary.
Well, yeah, I was thinking about genres and stuff, and I'm not even really genre specific. If it's a song I like it, and doesn't matter what.
Well, of course.
You know, genre it is.
Absolutely, yeah. In the middle of 4 or 5 R&B records, there comes Dottie West for me. Or Neil Sedaka, you know, and God knows, in the middle of anything's going to come something Brazilian. No, but you know, that's the beauty of making tapes for yourself or files for yourself. Now nobody makes tapes anymore, but you know, the idea of poor Dave, if you weren't listening earlier, wanting to make sure his playlist fit some format. Hell no, it's just for him.
Yeah, that's what brought me to thinking about that, was because why limit yourself to a format?
Right.
And if you're going to reconstruct the, quote, good times and great oldies format, you're missing out on a lot of stuff. Just go back and listen to old air checks, and you'll see what songs didn't quite make it into that.
Well, of course. You know, that's why I always say I play the greatest music you've never heard. You know, so none of the hits all the time. No, it's just what do you like? And sometimes it's a heartbreak that things weren't hits, like that record often played by Al Wilson, his first record, Who Could Be Loving You, which to me, that had all the earmarks of a hit, but it just wasn't.
Yeah.
But that didn't stop me from loving it.
Sure, sure.
So, yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times these music services will have, we've curated this playlist you know, based on what you listen to. Well, maybe, maybe not, but most of what you put on it, I don't want to hear.
It's worse than that, because sadly, everyone that I've run across in the last 25 years, every last one of them, are coming usually from digital sources, meaning that they were not the original 45 mixes. Sometimes they weren't even the original 45 version, but what passes on those formats just causes me to cringe. And so, you know, I gave up on that years ago.
And then a lot of times there are even songs. I don't even want to hear this song just because
Right, of course.
You know, had some by a similar artist or, you know, like, okay, let me choose my own songs.
Right, if I'm playing Looking Glass, I ain't playing Brandy, I'm playing Jimmy Lowe's Mary Ann. You know?
That's definitely the better of the two of those songs.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. So, sure. But, you know, whenever you find something you really like, and obviously Dave loves it, don't question it. Don't analyze it. Just give it a look at it as a gift from God that you like it and enjoy it.
Yeah. If you like it and you have access to it, play it and play it. If you want to have it come around every 5 minutes, it's your playlist.
Absolutely.
And who cares?
That's it.
They're not doing Hooper ratings where he lives. So,
absolutely. And Trendex is long gone, yes.
Yeah. So they're not doing any of those companies anymore.
Yeah, right.
So he can, if he wants to have Eleanor Rigby or something go 75 times, that's cool.
Oh, that's
who cares?
Yeah, well, as long as he's not next to me at the time. Yeah, absolutely. As long as
you got a point there.
A volume for personal listening, that is. Don't subject me to it. But sure. That's why we have done, by listener request, after the world's worst hit records, the guilty pleasures, the records you're embarrassed to admit you like. And I've mentioned this before. I had to do a surgery. It was 1985, and I don't do general anesthesia very well, so it was all going to be a local. So I made a cassette for me of exactly what I wanted to hear. And so what I didn't realize was when the doctor was talking to me, he just wanted voice contact while what he was doing. But he asked me, what are you listening to now? And I wouldn't tell him because it was Glenn Campbell's version of the world I used to know. And I'm like, I'm not admitting that to anyone.
Yeah, you have to tell him it's something else on the day that came either earlier or later on the day.
Exactly. It's like, why didn't you ask me when I was playing something respectable? Don't ask me about that. Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, but sure, it's your own, and you know you're in your own little fiefdom. For God's sakes, don't question anything. There's so many rotten things in life. Why question the good things? If you like something, take it as you know the way it is and go for it. Yeah.
And your friends aren't going to care. Yeah,
well,
not,
and,
really,
and even if they do, you're not going to care, or you shouldn't.
Yeah, that's so, true.
I
know that a lot of my friends like stuff I don't, and vice versa, and we're still friends, believe it or not. So,
no, I do believe it. Just like things you don't discuss about other things. Yeah, you accept your friends for what they are, and there's some off-limit discussion. And yes, as far as I'm concerned, obscure oldies, if you don't like them, just keep that to yourself.
Yeah, that's fine.
Absolutely.
Just some thoughts on that. You know, just like why limit yourself? There's enough limitations that life places on you as it is.
Absolutely.
So your music should not be limited, I think.
I agree, 100%. All right. Well, good to hear from you, Gary. Thank you.
Hey, great. Thanks a lot.
All right. Good deal.
Bye.
So, and as I say, don't question the good things. There just aren't enough of them. Bonnie in Butternut. Okay. Thanks for calling back. What's up?
I'm here, but, you know, I'm in such a rural area that you never know what's going to happen. So.
Oh, yeah. I can relate. Yes.
So, well, first I'll start with a couple of requests, and it's interesting that you just mentioned Elle Wilson, because that was one of my requests was going to, These Are the Eyes.
I don't think that's Elle Wilson, I don't think. I know the song, though. Show and Tell. Well, yes, it is. It's Show and Tell. It's Show and Tell. I had to get through enough of the song. Show and Tell is Elle Wilson. Yes. Okay, that's
okay,
the, that's the name of it, Show and Tell. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I got the wrong.
You got the right song, but I had to sing it to myself long enough to hit the post and see, oh, Show and Tell. There's the hook. All right. So, yeah, Show and Tell, Elle Wilson. You got it. What else?
Okay. And then Mr. Sun, Tommy Edwards.
Okay. Please, Mr. Sun. Yes, much better than the Johnny Ray version.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And then I just wanted to tell you about an experience I had with my Apple smartphone.
Oh, yeah.
Apple smartwatch.
Okay.
Well, of course, I use a lot of home medical devices due to the diagnosis of the AFib, which keeps me on top of it, you know.
Yeah.
And took it off the charger yesterday afternoon. And I was sitting there. I didn't just took it off the charger, put on my wrist, and was sitting there. And all of a sudden, I heard like a siren noise, but I thought it was maybe outside or out on the lake, a boat or something.
Whoa.
And all of a sudden, I hear a man saying, "This is 911. This is 911. And I said, "This is 911. I said, "I'm okay. What happened?" Well, he said, "You called that you had an emergency, a medical emergency."
No, your watch did.
Said, well,
oh, no.
And I said, "Well, I'm sorry. I'm fine. So, you know, disregard it." So then he went through a whole, you know, what's my name, my age, my husband. I had to say he's right here and et cetera, and my address. So I said, "Okay." And I said, "Well, I'm sorry this happened. I'm going to check it out."
Yeah.
So I didn't pay attention, and all of a sudden, my landline is calling me, my cell phone is calling me, my husband's cell is calling, and here it's my children and my grandchildren calling me because I had these names on emergency list,
right.
Contact list.
Right.
And would you believe that one of which I forgot to take off because she's new over there. My granddaughter is in Shanghai. It got her in Shanghai five in the morning.
Oh, geez.
So I found that quite interesting. But lo and behold, needless to say, it basically, because then later in the evening, the same thing happened.
No.
And I was we were on the road on State Highway going north. In the town of Butternut, which, you know, if you blink your eyes, you're not going to see it.
Right.
And there isn't cell service there. And here, my son is calling me then on my husband's call phone saying, "Now what happened?"
Right.
"You're out. Are you in the..." Well, needless to say, the phone has bit the dust.
Yeah, the watch, yeah.
The watch has bit the dust. But I find it very interesting, and so now there's an order in for a new smartwatch because I do enjoy it. It helps me with the diagnosis of the AFib, and I encourage really all of the listeners out there, if they can afford any kind of home device or watch, it's such a big help because like this lady the other day from, what is it, Willowbrook?
Yeah, right, Laura who fell and couldn't get up, yeah.
Right. And she, you know, but it really is an asset as far as I'm concerned. But I find it good. So, and Jim, hang in there. It's going to work out. And
now let me ask you about the phone a minute, because of course for people who don't have one, it's a feature, the watch for people who don't have one, it's a feature that you can activate, but it's not supposed to work unless something in your body triggers it, that you've either fallen or, you know, like you mentioned, the AFib and all that, that something's going off. So did the watch detect that something was happening?
Evidently, and that's why we're because then the officer later that evening when it went off, the officer actually spent at least 40 minutes on with me,
mm-hmm.
so that we would turn off anything that I might have had on there for a special alert.
Right.
And he went over it with, you know, looking at his and looking at the phone and look,
right.
you know, on the watch app on your phone. And we went all through that, and I had all the buttons pressed right, and I wasn't doing anything. I was sitting in a chair.
I wonder what
then,
triggered it.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But then, so I thought, oh, well, this is great. So he said, well, I'm sure it's okay. And I said, well, I'm not going to turn it off overnight because I like it during the night and et cetera. Anyway. And so he agreed that it was all in the right positions, all the little slide buttons.
Right. Wow.
So this morning we're sitting here at the island finishing up breakfast, and my husband happens to look at his phone, and he's getting alert that my phone went off again. So I called non-emergency, and we went through the whole thing, and they said, well, you know, just turn it off, don't turn it on. But this time they sent an officer out to the house.
Okay.
But they had the wrong address.
Oh,
they sent them to the wrong address. So
that's hilarious.
So, you know, instead of it being 9966, they went 9166.
Oh, geez.
So anyway, but yeah, it was just one of those things. So I'm not turning it on. It's been put in the drawer. It's not on. The Wi-Fi has been turned off of it. The watch has been turned off. And I think by now the battery is probably dead. So.
You're right, right. Yeah, what a shame, because they are great. But when they go haywire, that's about the worst I've heard about it. But yeah, you're right to want
it
one.
It was a six. So it was a few years old.
Yeah.
So it was okay. But I just wanted to tell Jim to hang in there. It's going to work out.
All right.
And Karen, who had the hip surgery,
yes,
speedy recovery to you.
Yeah.
And the lady that's going to go to Florida for her eyes.
Uh-huh. Linda.
Have a good report.
A
good report.
Yeah.
And have a safe trip.
Oh, absolutely. So, now, by the way, thank you for the picture you sent me earlier this month, the Northern Lights. That was
the Northern Lights.
Yeah, that was absolutely beautiful. And as you know, usually when you see them, they're green. So to see them in this nice purplish color was lovely.
Well, it's been pretty active this year with them.
Uh-huh.
In the spring, they were good. The summer, they were out there, but they weren't as good.
Yeah. Well, it usually isn't in the summer, yeah.
But no, just last week, it was very good. And it was right off the pier, you know, looking over the lake. So we're very fortunate.
It was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Yeah.
But sometime, if you look at it and take a photo of it,
yeah,
they you don't see the purplish
right.
in the sky.
Right. Yeah.
But
this came out
pretty
nice.
Interesting.
Yes. And so thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Bonnie.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Call again soon. Appreciate Bye-bye. It. All right. So good deal. Yes, she sent me a beautiful picture from her pier, and love the Northern Lights. And like I say, usually all I ever get to see is green. So when it's the nice rose hues and purple hues, that's really nice. All right, we'll get to Laura in Willowbrook. Ah, indeed. And you too, if you'll call 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. That's the Channels, All Alone, 1957, and Gone. Figured we should hear more Channels as we kind of upcut That's My Desire, which was Robert's request in Stickney, which we played right before the news. All right, that was also on Gone in 1957. So all Channels all the time, or so it seems. Frank is a first-time caller, and he's in Manuka. Welcome to WGN Radio. Frank. Oh, Frank left us. You know, I could have known that was going to happen. Just known it. All right, because first-time callers don't have much patience. And Frank, I hope you'll call me back. We'd like to meet you and see what's on your mind. All right, 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. Sharon is in Little Rock. What's happening, Sharon? We lost Sharon, too? Oh, this is not good. They're dropping like flies, I tell you what. All right, so we'll get to Chris, we'll get to Cindy, but I was mentioning during the news there, well, not during the news, but the little preamble I do prior to the news about something close to nothing but different from the day before, and I had I know it was the desserts. Yeah, the desserts. I wanted to share this with you. Very often, the show will end, and I'll think, I never even talked about anything I'd planned to. So let me try a little with this. Because we talked about the things in your kitchen that have disappeared, like appliances and stuff like that. Well, desserts. Seven desserts that used to be wildly popular that most people never heard of or certainly not actually eaten. The first one being mincemeat pie. Now, I've heard of it. But I admit I have never partaken of this. It goes back to medieval Europe, and apparently it was a finely chopped mixture of meat, mutton, basically, with dried fruit and spices and natural sugars, and which was used merely as a preservative, but also turned out to be a swell dessert. By the end of the Victorian era, the primary ingredients were fruit, spices, and beef suet, hard animal fat. And mincemeat pies are still popular around Christmas time in the UK, and even have vegetarian varieties. But here in the States, we don't know about it. Now, have you ever had tomato soup cake? This was news to me, too. And the earliest recipe dates back to 1922, and it was popular among Irish immigrants in New England. And they swore you couldn't even taste the tomato. It required Campbell's condensed soup right there, okay. The result was a moist red-orange cake that, like I say, doesn't resemble tomatoes at all because there's cinnamon and cloves and nutmegs, and popular through the 40s. Obviously, through the Depression, when people were looking for affordable substitutes and stuff like that. And in the 40s, the Campbell Soup Company began experimenting with variations of tomato soup cake. In 1960, they actually printed a version on the tomato soup label, which was the first time a recipe was on a soup can. And then there's shoe fly pie, which actually is pretty good. It's molasses-based, a crumbly streusel-like topping. And some say it got the name because it attracted flies. Other flies, no, it's because they were using shoe fly molasses, which was a brand. But it dates back to 1876, as far as known recipes, originating with a crust-free molasses cake, Centennial Cake, served to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence signing. And so other sources say, no, it was the German immigrants of Pennsylvania Dutch country who brought it here, whatever. But still popular among the Amish and the Mennonite communities, Pennsylvania and Ohio. So shoe fly pie. But then there was carrot pudding. I could see that, actually. A recipe in 1591 in an English cookbook, A Book of Cookery, describes carrot pudding as a savory pudding made of chopped liver, breadcrumbs, spices, dates, and sugar, stuffed inside a hollow carrot. I don't know about you, but I can't even begin to imagine how to get that carrot to be hollow. Yeah, and certainly not in 1591, where if there is a carrot hollow or some type of device, it wasn't there then. And so it evolved into a sweet dessert in a pastry shell, similar to pumpkin pie, which I never understood either. Now, I take great exception with fruitcake. They say it's gone, it belonged to the ancient Romans. No, I like fruitcake. I'm the one. And it used to be when Tasty Cake was still owned by a Philadelphia family before they were sold off to God knows what. They used to make a Christmas Tasty Cake that I loved. I'd get like a couple dozen of them a year, freeze them, and just love them. Since they were sold, it doesn't work anymore. But fruitcakes are still, of course, made to this day, as you know, because they're the butt of more than a few jokes. But I like them. I'll stick up for that. Jumbles. This is something else I like. And if you have any ties to the Middle East, jumbles, and some people say jumballs, are good. It's butter, it's sugar, it's eggs, flours, and then spices of all sorts of types. And it's shaped into thick, round knots, basically, like garlic knots, but flatter. And then you bake or boil it. And the reason originally was the Arab world and nomads who this could be traveled with and stored for months and remained popular for centuries, and dozens of recipes, you know, almond jumbles and lemon jumbles and all that. In fact, Martha Washington's family cookbook, the Book of Cookery, has a few of those in there. And then, finally, if you haven't lost your appetite yet, let me mention vinegar pie. Yes, a popular Depression-era dessert. It dates back to the 19th century, and what it does is it mimics the tartness of lemons, and that way you could, you know, make it all year long rather than when lemons were just in season. What you'd substitute was apple cider vinegar for citrus, and you know, some say this was a recipe of desperation, but the reality is it caught on. It was pretty big, and there were other Depression pies, buttermilk pie, chess pie, water pie. Yeah, okay, but so that's a few things that you're probably not going to order for dessert anytime soon, but try the jumbles. All right, so 888-876-5593. Sharon called back. All right, Little Rock, come in, Little Rock. How are you, Sharon?
I'm doing good. Sorry about that.
What's up?
Okay, I was wondering why. Okay, I was messing around with my phone, and I had iHeartRadio, and I looked at the station, and it was I think I'm saying it right, WBAP.
Okay, 820 Fort Worth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, how come it changed to a different format? Now it's like news talk.
Oh, it has been for years and years.
Okay, I didn't know.
It's got an interesting history. You probably date back to when it was all country and they had Bill Mack at night on the truckin' show,
yes,
on the overnights.
Yes,
of course.
Yes, yes.
Of course, the Midnight Cowboy, and it was wonderful. Well, you know, it was a very interesting radio station because until they moved and built DFW Airport, Eamon Carter Field was where the transmitter was, and WBAP was probably the last of any major market station that switched frequencies every 2 hours, and it did it with WFAA. And when it would come on with WBAP, there'd be a cowbell, you know, WFAA leaves the air,
yes,
WBAP and all that. Well, after,
yes,
DFW got the land, then what happened was Clear Channel that owned at the time, it was Clear Channel, not Clear Channel, I'm sorry, Capital Cities that owned it at the time, I think it was Cap Cities, but whoever it was, they paid WFAA a lot of money for FAA to stay on 570 as a regional and for them to go to 820 as a clear. But it's been news talk for, man, I'd say a couple decades now, maybe.
Okay, well, I used to live in Mesquite, Texas, a long time ago.
Uh-huh.
And I'd love to listen. That was my favorite radio station.
I think it was 93 when they went talk. So that's over 30 years ago. And the first slogan was News Talk 820. And but yeah, if you lived in Mesquite, then you know how they used to change frequencies.
Yes, yes, yeah,
yeah.
So, it'd be one station one time, and then it'd be something else. And,
right,
you know, you're going okay.
Right, exactly.
Hey, and getting back to, yeah. Hey, and getting back to those to the song list, I have my cell phone. I have a subscription to iTunes.
Yeah,
and I swear I probably have bought. I probably got about $1,000 worth of songs on my
cell
phone.
Wow.
But I love it. I mean, I walk a lot, and I mean, I can just,
sure,
put my earphones on and just,
yeah,
you know, zone out. So,
yeah, that's great. So tell me, what was your big find? Because, you know, everybody has those elusive songs that they want to get that they couldn't get, and then suddenly they stumble across them. What was your big find?
Let me see. Okay, one of them was a real old one, Roger Miller. I love Roger Miller. I used to love him a lot. I used to listen to it a lot.
Yeah.
Trailers for Sale and Rent.
Oh, yes, right. Absolutely King of the Road.
And, I can't. Swingland Swings, like the...
England Swings Like the Pendulum Do, Bobby's on Bicycles 2,
yes,
by 2, Westminster Abbey, The Tower, Big Ben, The Rosy Red Cheeks of the Little Trilled Inn. Yeah, uh-huh. Heard it. So, yeah. I liked Roger Miller, too. He was so entertaining and so funny, and unfortunately he suffered from such horrible depression that it was a tough life, but he gave us a lot of pleasure in those songs.
Yeah, and then there was one, that lady died, I can't think of this song. Killing Me Softly was his song.
What?
Killing Me Softly was his song.
Killing Me Softly. Okay, Roberta Flack, sure.
Right.
Okay.
That was my first song that I bought off of iTunes.
All right. Yeah. Well, good.
But, I mean, I got everything you can imagine.
Well, that's and great.
I love it. I mean, it's perfect for me. I buy my cars like every so often, and then if I hear a song, especially off of you, I've gotten a couple of songs off of you.
Yeah.
Because it's songs I hadn't heard in like ages.
Right.
And I'm going, oh, wow.
Yeah,
gotta
find you that. Oh, my pleasure, absolutely. Well, good.
But anyway, yeah, I zone out. Yeah, I fish a lot on Lake Hamilton.
Uh huh.
And if there's nothing on the radio station I want to listen to, I'll just zone out and listen to my oldies.
Absolutely, you betcha. All right, well, good. We'll keep it up.
I'm going to. I love Sonny and Cher. I love all the old, old, songs. So it's cool.
And it's available. That's the best part. There's basically nothing you can't get.
No, and there's not. And I have, I probably spent thousands of dollars.
Oh, God, yeah. I just tape them off YouTube for free if I don't have them. But anyway.
Well, I have that, too. I have the music, the regular music thing, that I can, and I have done that, too. So.
Yeah. But most of the time, I always want to find the original 45 mix. I don't much like any of the remixes or remastered. Oh, God, that to me is just fighting words. So I always look for those original 45s.
Well, I even got a Dark Shadows old song.
Yeah.
I can't even think of it. But anyway, it's one of his, it's Quentin's theme. That's what it was. And I found it. I go, wow, I hadn't heard,
Yeah.
So I used to watch Dark Shadows a long, long time ago. So, this is cool.
Sure. Sure.
Absolutely. Thank you again.
Thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you again.
All right, good deal.
I just wondered why it had changed in...
It was about 93. And, a lot of AM stations then went to News Talk. And to BAP's credit, a lot of those hosts were local and live. They didn't rely that much on satellite-delivered programming, which was good. They had some, but they had a lot of local and live stuff, too. So many of the AM stations dropped music at that time because they felt they weren't going to compete with the quality of FM. I contend that I don't care if you're AM or FM or satellite or internet, and if it's what somebody wants to hear and they can't hear it anywhere else, they'll listen no matter what it is. But the logic was that AM was more suited to news talk. And of course then, since there were so many satellite offerings, it was cheap for a station to do. Now, like a BAP, like I say, they were still originating program, but for stations that had no money and wanted to do news talk, that was new because they couldn't have done that in the 60s or the 70s. It would have been expensive. But once satellites proliferated in the 80s, they could throw a news talk station on very cheaply.
Well, hey, I learn something new every day.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Yeah, and the key over the years to real news talk success was a vibrant news department. If you're the station where people are turning to when there's an issue, now you got them. And of course, the stations that have no budget can't do that, but the BAPs of the world certainly could. I can't speak to today, but that was true back then. And of course, in 93 they were talk, but they still had the Midnight Cowboy. Yeah, Bill Smith, of course. How could you not? All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And we will be getting to Laura in Willowbrook and Cindy in Chicago. And yes, Chris in Greenwood. I told him to call back, and I've got the book right in my hand, so we'll talk about all that more coming up on WGN Radio.
Till you came into my life. And these are the arms that long to lock you inside every day and every night.
I'm trying to show love is right. If you're anywhere inside,
anywhere inside.
And these are the lips that can't help calling your name in the middle of the night.
Middle of the night.
Oh, and here is the man who needs to know where you stand. Don't you know I've done all I can? So decide.
James, so there it is, Al Wilson. Yeah, it was Bonnie's request. I'm happy to play it. 1973, that was on Rocky Road. If you have a copy and think that it's on Bell, well, that was the distributor, and they wound up putting their imprint on it after a while. But Rocky Road was an interesting little label. Mark Gordon owned it, and he's a guy who had been at Motown for years and had a distribution deal with Bell. And Al Wilson was one of their signature acts. The other one, probably even more notable, Climax, the group that did Precious and Few. And they had a bunch of other people you've never heard of, but those were the only two you probably had. And the label stayed around from 71 till about 75 when Climax disbanded. And of course, Al Wilson started on Johnny River Soul City. So happy to play that. Everything Al Wilson did, I liked. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And I believe Laura in Willowbrook's been hanging around. So Laura, how are you?
I'm good. Sorry, earlier I was having phone trouble and I wasn't hearing you,
yeah.
So I had to hang up and call back. So
all right.
I'm back. But
well, good.
A couple of things. First, the Apple smartwatch.
Yes.
I'm glad that whoever that was talking about it was mentioning about it. And I did buy one, but there's a funny story with this. I don't have it connected yet. I still got that emergency button.
Yeah.
But I bought it. And then I says, well, I want to make an appointment. Oh, so then when I went to make an appointment, they says, well, the store you bought it at is not an authorized dealer. They sell them there, but they can't. I needed somebody to install it and fix it and, you know, all that.
Oh,
they're
no.
Like, oh, well, you've got to go to the same store but in a different town.
What?
I'm like, but that doesn't make any sense.
What?
So, yeah.
Well,
they're like, well, you've got to go to such and such a town. They can do it because they're an authorized dealer. I'm like, what?
Well, I don't understand. If they're not an authorized dealer, why are they allowed to sell it?
Thank you. That doesn't make any sense. As you know, it's one of the major electronics stores. I don't need to tell you the name. You know.
Oh,
it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, good luck. Stop shopping there. That's all I'll say.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you betcha. But yeah.
So what I'm going to do, I'm going to just go to the Apple store and have them do it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Go to the, you know, go to the Genius Bar or whatever they call it now and have them do it.
But it's like, oh, my God, really? Somebody
yeah.
You're,
yeah, well, now that you told me who it is, I understand why they're not taking action. But to me, it's dirty pool that they say, yeah, we can buy it there, but we don't, you know, we don't honor it. No.
I know,
no.
I know, right?
So yeah, go to the Apple store directly, and they'll sort it out for you. And that's the easiest way. You know, I could give you some links online how you could do it yourself, but in the end, it'll be a heartbreak. Just go there and let them do it.
Right, exactly. It's like, it's less going to cost me anything. I'm like, here, just do it for me, please.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I need to tell you about what happened yesterday.
What?
I'm wondering what you would have done.
I
was at the park.
Uh-huh.
I helped this lady clean up the park,
uh-huh.
And it was like 8:30 at night,
uh-huh.
And the park closes at dark.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So there was people in the pavilion picnicking,
mm-hmm.
I guess I'll call it that, and some people using the grill outside.
Okay.
And it wasn't bad enough that it's 8:30 at night and they're grilling outside, but the flames are shooting up high.
Oh,
and
God.
I thought, this seems dangerous to me.
Yeah, just so a little.
I was torn between, okay, should I just let this go or should I do something about it? What would you have suggested?
You know, I don't know. I think that I would have had to have been there to make the decision because I could probably make an argument in both directions.
That's what I was thinking, yes.
You know, I you know, that's one of those where if you were in debate class, you could take either side of that and wail with it. So what'd you do?
Yes. Well, I was with my dog, a friend, and another person that helps clean the park. She says, well, if she doesn't bring a phone, but she says, well, if you would call the police, I'd call the police. So I did call the police, and then I didn't want to stick around. So they said, well, you want to stay around and see him? I said, no.
Oh, so, yeah, right. Right. I agree with you on that. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah. It's like, you come, and I'll just disappear. So I went to the other side of the park, which they wouldn't even see me, and the police, I guess, talked to them for a while, and then about 10 minutes later, they left, but I thought, I just was worried that there was going to, I had nothing against the people, but I was like, the way things go nowadays, I'm afraid the grass is going to set on fire. They're going to drop something or the flames. I mean, especially since the flames were so high.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what to do, but that's what I did.
And that worked out, I guess. So good.
Yes.
All right. Excellent.
And then I have two requests.
Okay, let's get them down. What you want?
And this is in honor of my Chicago Cubs making the playoffs after 5 years.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you mind Downtown by Petula Clark.
Okay, sure. All right.
And the other one, this one's optional. I think it's by Eladia Haynes Jeremiah. Do you know who that is?
No.
In the old days, they used to call it, the song's called LSD, which is actually Lakeshore Drive.
Oh, huh. I'll look for this. And Eladia is the artist?
Yeah, A-L-I-O-T-T-A, Eladia Haynes Jeremiah. I don't know if it's three people or one. I had to look it up.
All right. I've heard of it,
cool,
actually.
Song.
It's local. But I don't know that I've actually ever heard the song. Okay.
It's kind of cool. It's just their Chicago-type song, so I thought we'll do it in honor of the Cubs, because I know you don't want to play the Cubs theme song.
Well, I could do Talking Baseball. That's about it.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, good.
All right. Well, thanks.
Well,
thank
absolutely.
You a lot, Raleigh.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
All
Bye.
Right. So now I have to find LSD, so to speak, as it were. I mean, all right. So 888-876-5593. Chris in Greenwood. All right, Chris, you call back. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. I couldn't hear you the first time either, so I called you back.
Okay, so actually the book is called TV Inside Out, and that's the name of it. And the guy who wrote it is Randy West. And there's, as far as daytime, there's probably a lot more about game shows than soap operas. But I guarantee you, with the kind of stories you tell me, you will love this book.
Oh, okay, because you know, game shows and soap operas ruled daytime TV back in the day.
Of course, so you'll like this. So yeah, TV Inside-Out. So yeah, get yourself a copy. I'm sure it's like on Amazon or whatever, and you can probably get a soft cover, and won't be too much money, I hope.
Yeah, for how much?
Oh, I can look it up. I don't know. As far as, and maybe there may be ones for sale that are used. You know, sometimes that's a real good deal. Let's go and see. I'll go.
Have you ever heard of logo plastering, like on the ending credit?
Sure.
Yeah, you know, like nowadays, if you watch a rerun of a show from the 70s or 80s, they, like, for example, like Columbia Pictures Television, they plaster it with the Sony Pictures Television logo and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It takes the nostalgic out of it sometimes.
Okay, in paperback, you can get it used for $29.98. Now, if you have a Kindle, I think it's like $8.45 or something, but I'm not a Kindle person. But you could get it.
Me neither.
Yeah, right. So you could get a used copy. You know, new, it would be it was $40. But what you do on like Amazon is just go down to the you know, used ones, the paperbacks, other used and new from $29.98, and you can see what's available. And so looking at it, you can see everything, and that's the deal. And you can probably you can probably also look online for other sellers. Let me see what I can do. Maybe I'll see something that'll come up. But yeah, usually these kind of things, if you wait long enough, you'll see a copy that's really affordable. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, you heard about them logos at the plastering, right? Like the reruns.
Uh huh.
Yeah, you know they do a lot of that in syndication. Like they either cut the logo off or they add a new one.
Right. Sure.
Yeah, because I'm like back during the syndication years when Golden Girls was rerunning in off-network syndication.
Yeah.
They would have the old Buena Vista Castle logo.
Right.
In place of the old Touchstone television logo. They would have that in place instead of Touchstone, or sometimes they would just cut it off.
There is a website of logo plastering mistakes, and it's hilarious. If you like looking at these, you can see them.
Yeah.
So Avid, I think, but the website, yeah, avid.wiki/, you can find it, but just look for Avid logo plastering mistakes and it will come up.
Because I remember, like, the Fact of Life, one of them episodes, it had the old Embassy television on there,
mm-hmm.
and they had the Columbia Pictures 88 jingle rolling instead of its Embassy music.
Right. Oh, you know, this has been going on since the advent of television. This isn't anything new. This practice absolutely started in the 40s when most cities didn't have a television station. So sure. And there's in many cases it's legit. For instance, when one company will acquire another, like when Warner Brothers acquired Lorimar, Walton's or the Dallas, you're gonna see the Warner Brothers logo, of course. In the mid 60s, Screen Gems Columbia Pictures started, and so they plastered.
I can give you an example.
Sure, there's a lot of
like
them.
You know, the first episode of Perfect Strangers, you know, the old Lorimar logo with the yellow line in the background with that soft piano music playing.
Okay.
Yeah, and they call it the Line of Doom, but in the reruns they place it with the Warner Brothers logo.
Right. And then there were a lot of things with Hanna-Barbera, because that was a real cluster. And of course, Taft acquired that in the 60s, but Columbia, Screen Gems Columbia, still had the syndication rights to anything that was prior to that in the Hanna-Barbera library. So if it was pre-66, I think was the year, in the Hanna-Barbera library, then SGC, Screen Gems Columbia, had the right to it. But if it was post that, then Taft bought it. So it was interesting to see how that was done as well. So sure. Logo plastering. You're the only person I know who's ever thought that this was interesting, but okay.
Yeah, you ever heard of the TAT Communications?
Yeah.
Of Norman Lear's production company,
right.
TAT.
Yeah.
Is the initials, like you see it on the Jeffersons and Facts of Life and some kind
of
shows.
Right.
It was a logo there for real.
Right.
That wasn't found in decades, and they was making all memes of it, but last year they found the real logo of it, and I haven't seen it. When the Jeffersons reran on WGN in 1994, that's the last time I saw it until last year. I didn't see it in decades, and I was shocked.
Do you know what TAT stands for?
Tutus Affin Tish.
Yeah, and you know what that means.
Butts in the seat.
Well, that, yeah,
line.
Right, exactly. You want to say getting down to business, but yes, in Yiddish it does translate to ass on the table. But, yeah, and, absolutely, that was not only Norman Lear, Jerry Parenshaw was his partner. And that would later
you know
be
that music, the music TAT had.
See, I wouldn't know because I don't watch. Yeah, I don't watch these stuff. So no, you gotta find somebody else. I'm aware of the ownerships and the logos and all that. You know, going back to Zivin before, but no, I don't watch these shows. I don't watch any shows.
Yeah, you remember SFM?
Sure.
Because you know, I thought that was the scariest logo I ever seen. Because you know, they had the multicolored SFM and then the Morse code beeps and. The guy said, this is a SFM entertainment production.
Finest in television. Yeah. And so, absolutely. And they, I think they cropped up in the latter 60s. And it was actually, I know the logo. It was a good logo.
You see it on Doobly Zoo and the real McCoys and like reruns like that.
Okay. Yeah.
And Grandma got ran over by a reindeer on Christmas. You can see that.
I think it was... Stab, I'm trying to think of the other two guys. Frank.
The Mogers.
Okay, Stan Moger. Okay, yeah. And somebody Frank. So Stab, Frank, and Moger. That's what it was originally.
Yeah, Moger did the voiceover for SFM.
So, and there you go. And they did a number of things. They had some good sponsorship tie-ins like Mobil Oil or General Foods, you know, and that's, you know, the money comes from that, obviously. So, then they got into,
and like
they
got Andy into Griffin sports, reruns.
They got into sports marketing. They hired Jerry Solomon. Wasn't he married to, what's her name? I can't remember, but anyway, all right, so yes. And Havas bought it. That's been about 30 years ago now, Havas bought it.
Yeah, you remember Andy Griffith used to have the old CBS logo in the Twilight Zone. They replaced it with the Via Doom Viacom.
Right.
Back
when it was still Viacom, yes. Okay.
Yeah. And they had that V logo coming to the screen like it's about to come at you.
Right. Right. Yeah, Jerry Solomon was married to Nancy Kerrigan. I guess he still is, but yeah, then he got into that.
The skater, Nancy Kerrigan.
Yeah, that's his wife. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I didn't know that. The guy that ran SFM.
Yes.
Married to Jerry.
Yes, Jerry Solomon is married to Nancy Kerrigan. There's a bit of an age difference there, but it's worked. I think they got married like around 95 or something. It's been a while. And as far as I know, they still are. So, yeah. And so that was, you know, he was her manager before, and then they got married. But anyway, he's a sports agent, and yes, he was involved with that. All right. Well, interesting that you pay attention to that. That is more than I've ever done, and good for you. But, yeah, if you can, find a cheap copy somewhere of TV Inside Out, and you will love it.
Thank you. And I also do a plastering logos on my phone, too, with different, like, Funky Brewster with 20th Century Television.
Whatever makes you happy. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Talk to you soon. All right, so there you have it on WGN Radio.
I've become a member of the Society of Broken Hearted Lovers. Heartbreak.
clock start to run, then you know you had your initiation. And soon you'll be a member like me. Yeah, yeah. If they said it on some club called by those who lost their love's heartbreak. Heartbreak.
Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That was one that Johnny Goen had requested. Heartbreak Society, The Radiance, 1963 on Chess. And who knows, maybe he'll play it this Sunday night on soulofthecity.net. Yeah, it does that from 6 to midnight. Check it out. All right, so, yes, a fine, super fine record as far as that goes. So, 888-876-5593. Kim in Florida is going to tell us more about Lakeshore Drive songs. So, Kim, tell me about it. I guess Kim's not going to tell me anything because Kim has left the building. All right, maybe she'll call back. I'll look for it meantime. We'll see what we can do to find it. And maybe there's a big story behind it, and I would love to hear it. All right, so, oh, but Pete in Sauk Village has information on it as well. So, all right, Pete, what you know?
Well, that and one other thing I wanted to bring up, referring back to, I caught the tail end of you talking about food and fruitcakes and things.
Uh-huh.
But you're looking for Alyota Haynes and Jeremiah.
Okay.
She had that first word all for shimmled.
Okay.
And, but okay. The song is Lakeshore Drive.
Okay.
And it's a nice bouncy melody talking about all the various aspects of Lakeshore Drive and the pretty blue lights along the way, which refers to the fact that Chicago police squad cars use blue Marlboro lights.
No, I found it right here. We'll be playing it next. Thank you.
Oh, great. Yeah. Now, the other thing, are you familiar with a type of cookie called Lebkuchen?
No, what is it?
Well, the name is German, and Leib means lead.
Lead?
Lead as in lead cookie, meaning how heavy it is.
I was going to say, I know there ain't lead in it, so yeah, that makes
no,
sense.
No, but it's kind of like, not a ginger snap, but like a ginger cake cookie, mild ginger cake cookie, full of candied fruit.
Oh, interesting.
And since you like...
Fruitcakes, yes.
Fruitcake, and I do too... this is a cookie version, if you will.
Okay.
And I think there's a recipe is readily findable. I'd give it to you myself, but my mom used to make it, and she had a penciled out 3x5 card with the recipe on it, and I couldn't tell you where that
okay.
is to save my soul. But that was that's a cookie that you would probably quite enjoy.
All right.
And the last thing I wanted to put in another request, since we're now well into the college football season, I'd like to wander back to Tom Lehrer's library and see how fiercely Harvard will fight.
Okay.
In fight. So that's.
Okay. Yeah.
My one request that that's the thing. I try to start thinking of requests and I fail until the show's over.
Right. That's all right. But, you know, it comes back on the next night.
I need to write them down because by the next night with my Dane Bramage, my memory is shot to pieces. And, you know, what can I say? I can remember a bunch of older things. I mean, my mind is like Swiss cheese. A lot of it is still quite solid, but oh, the whole.
Yeah, but I'm with you there.
Well, I hope you haven't had 5+ knockout level concussions where you.
No,
spent
I haven't
10,
had anything.
15,
I just got old.
Out.
Right? No. I just got old. I come by naturally. So yes. Yes, my mind up and
I
left
started
me years ago.
Well, as an example, the first major one I had was actually sophomore year in high school when somebody stole the crown pad out of my helmet because our quarterback forgot his.
Yeah, good.
And one thing we did in practice and as warm-up at away games and such was headbutting drills.
Okay.
And I did... you know, I tried to tell the coach I can't do the helmet, and you get out there and do that. So I went out and I did it.
Oh, man.
I slammed my head into that pad, and the next thing I knew, the coach is leaning over me, yelling, to get your butt off the ground, you. Rah, 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 rah.
Oh, man.
So I did, and I went over to the bench and promptly sat there with the dizzy spins and vomiting.
Right. Oh, man.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. Well, absolutely.
Yeah, but anyway, I wanted to, because I'm in this rehab center, and I got two roomies, and I had the audacity of figuring out how to coordinate my own brand new replacement TV they brought in.
Good.
And get it talking to its remote.
Good.
And both of my roomies are having problems with theirs, so they're not letting me have any peace until I fix theirs.
Oh, there you go. Well, I'll give you something to do.
Oh, God, it gives me a big headache because they both have these universal replacement remotes, and nobody has the directions on how to get them to synchronize. So I'm playing eternally, and they keep coming back to me, and one who's awake right now, fortunately, is nearly stone deaf, so he's not hearing this conversation. And the other fellow, well, he's out like a light at this hour. I don't mind doing it. I'd like to be able to do something else also. You know, there's a certain point where generosity becomes overwhelming. You know? And to quote Robert Heinlein, there's a problem with confusing duty with what everyone else wants.
Right.
I mean, he had a, I don't know if you're familiar with Heinlein.
Uh-huh.
But in a book, Time Enough for Love, there's a couple collections of little quips by a guy who's supposedly about 2,600 years old. These are little nuggets of wisdom. Of course, the first one on the first page of the Notebooks of Lazarus Long, and you can find it on the web just by that name. The first one is, always store beer in a dark place.
Right.
You know, important things, but the one near the end that I don't want to try to quote because I can't, but it's a long one, and it has to do with the concept of duty and the difference between that and doing what everyone else expects of you.
Absolutely.
And I recommend it. I recommend the Notebooks to anyone because there's a lot of real intelligence in there. And I'm certain some of the stuff he borrowed from other places. But, I don't want to mention everything or try to, because I'm bound to bobble them. It's not something I've got memorized.
Yep.
And I'm not near as smart as when I was a little kid. I taught myself to read at the age of 3 out of my mom's biology texts from college.
Well, good.
And by the time I was, in the third grade, are you familiar with the Time Life book series? They had the Nature series of 20 books and the Science series of 20 books.
Yeah, absolutely.
My folks had all of them, and I had read them cover to cover by the time I was in the third grade, including out of the mathematics book, where they had pi spread to about 200 places across two pages, little strip across the top. I had that memorized, and I got in big trouble in fourth grade when I was dealing with a teacher who didn't know science from sinus, and I was correcting her every 2 minutes. Quite innocently, I wasn't trying to get her mad at me, but boy, did I. And I don't know if you want to hear any more about that story, wax rhapsodic on
no, I
a whole
appreciate
bunch of
that.
Stuff.
But as usual, you know, here I am talking to myself in the first hour, and now as I got 15 minutes left or so, I got 6 calls. So I will say we will reconvene
again
soon.
Okay, I'll get out of the front of the log jam.
Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Okay, thanks.
Take care, Raleigh.
All right,
talk
good
to you
deal.
Next week.
I hope so. All right, so indeed. So now, 888-876-5593 will take us to Ken in Prospect Heights. What's happening, Ken?
Raleigh, how are you? Good evening, good morning.
What's going on with you?
I would like your opinion. You have a studio there. I'm building a studio in my home for podcast that I'm currently doing, and I'm going to be doing some other projects like messages on hold, like, you know, when you call a business and you hear some kind of a thing about their business and sure. stuff while you're waiting for the person to pick up. So I want your opinion about, if you can, I don't know if you even have an opinion, but I'm looking at microphones, and I was wondering if you have a preference for a voice microphone. I'm looking at Electrovoice, Neumann's, and Shure's, and I'm not quite sure which one you use, or what you like, or if you have a preference.
Yeah, at the Globe Studios, I use a Neumann, a TLM-103. At the Scottsdale Studio, I use an RE-20 Electrovoice. So both of them, they both have their pluses and their minuses. It really depends on your voice and how you sound. But what I would tell you, while mics are important, and I don't mean to dismiss that, the ambience of where you are doing the recording is paramount. When you're doing something from home, you want to make sure that the sound level in whatever you've created for your little booth is what you want it to be. And what I would suggest if you could get a handle on one is to look at the Neumann and the EV and see what you think of them, you know, using them.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's the problem, is that it's kind of like buying clothes online. You don't know if it's going to fit until it arrives, and then you try it on and it doesn't fit. So I'm trying to figure it out.
I don't think you'd go wrong with either of them. The Neumann probably will set you back a little more. I think it's about $1,200 for the 103. And then, I mean, you can go up higher than that, of course. But I think they do have like a cheaper unit. I don't know much about it, but they do, I'm pretty sure. In any event, an EV is less expensive. What?
Yeah, the Neumann, they have a BCM 705, which runs around $700,
okay.
Something like that. So. And then the money is, you know, while I'm trying to be a little conscientious, quite honestly, I don't want to fall short on the quality, because that's the most important thing next to what you said, obviously, the ambience and everything in the room, which I've really padded well, insulated. The whole studio is really, I think, pretty well. It's got a nice live sound in one area and then, it's some dead areas, but, well, I appreciate it. That's all I wanted. I wanted to get your, and you mentioned the names I'm looking at, so I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I record these shows for better or worse, and tonight I'm on the RE-20, and last night I was on the Neumann, so if you listen to the playbacks, you'll hear the difference.
Oh, I certainly will.
All right, good deal.
Thank you for
your
help.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Good luck. Let me know what you decide.
Bye-bye.
All right.
So, I will. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I want to hear about that. But yeah, most of the problem when you're creating a studio is ambient noise. And I'm pretty quiet in Scottsdale, but I'll tell you, in Globe, because there's a lot going on in that studio, there are times that it is a wind tunnel, and it drives me crazy. So, and of course, the Neumann is very responsive. Oh, man. All right, so 888-876-5593. Oh, man, we're going to hopefully get to everybody, but I got to get to this right now on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We'll forgo the bumper since we have 7 minutes left, and I'm going to talk to four people for 7 minutes, not each, together, aggregately. So we'll start with Jim in Richmond and ask for the Cliff Notes. How's it going, Jim?
It's going great. Thank you for taking my call. Number one, I want to thank Bonnie for her prayers, and I wanted to tell Fran thank you, and I also tried her Ask Siri to go to ROLLYE.net, and it didn't work. It said it's not in your Apple library.
Well, it's not supposed to be in your Apple library. It's supposed to be on Safari. Say
right.
Siri, go to Safari and go to, try it that way.
Right. I'm going to try that next time.
Okay, all right.
And I had a few other things, but let someone else talk.
We'll talk
Thank
to you next
you and
week.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Talk to you then. Okay. All right, so 888. I'm not going to give the phone number out because we're not going to get through everybody, but we're going to try. Stacy in Algonquin gets a minute or two. So, Stacy, what's up?
Raleigh, hi. I heard you talking earlier in the show about an ocelot.
Yeah, ocelots.
I just had a bit of trivia that in the 60s, there was a show, Honey West, with Anne Francis and Johnny Erickson, and her pet was an ocelot.
Yes, I remember that, actually. I'm aware of that.
Yeah, and I just want to tell you and John and everybody that you have a very blessed weekend. Stay well.
You too.
And we'll talk to you next week.
All right, I look forward to it. Thanks.
Bye-bye now.
The problem with wild animals is they're very pretty. Just striking. They do not make good pets, period. They're wild animals, and they have needs that you're not going to meet, particularly if you're in an apartment. But they're destructive, they're dangerous, and trying to keep them healthy, safe, and happy is very difficult. So, yeah, Honey West can have an ocelot. You probably can't. Not without a good legal team and a lot of money and a few other practical considerations. So, drop the ocelot thought, although they are just stunning, no doubt about that. All right, so let's see what Cindy in Chicago has to say for herself. All right, Cindy, a couple minutes for you.
Well, actually, I had a serious cop. Well, I don't know if it's too serious, but anyhow. But the first thing I want to say is I have the request. It takes two.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay, it takes two. Yeah.
I heard that yesterday or today, and I thought, that's the good one.
Marvin and Tammy, sure.
And then the other thing is I'm going out to Barnes & Noble. First, I'll call and see if they have Martha Washington's cookbook.
Okay, good luck on that.
Such a great idea. My brother went to Naval Department, sent him to George Washington University for more education. But then, anyhow, I had looked at my Market Watch online, and they said there's changes coming to SSDI.
Oh, okay.
But they didn't say what they were.
Okay. I don't know. There'll be a COLA, obviously. I don't know what it'll be. We'll find out about what that is in October.
But I think it has something to do with getting rid of it.
Well, yeah, don't necessarily go there. There's always scares like that. I don't think it'll go away.
And then the other thing I wanted to say, do you know who Tom Hartman is?
Sure.
I've listened to him. I listen to both. I just listen in general. If I listen to him, I'll be so sick. I'll just, I can't function.
Then don't listen. That's easy.
No,
that's why we do not talk about politics on this show, and that's why I'm not going to go in depth about the SSDI changes. All right.
Oh, but then anyhow, I listened by accident for about 20 minutes, and I just was stuck. I don't know.
Well,
all right. Well, that's what happened.
Good deal. All right. Thanks. Okay, appreciate it. Yeah. And Tom is a progressive radio talk show host, and he's been doing it for quite a while. And if you cotton to that and want to hear that talk, well, you can do it. I think he operates out of Portland. But anyway, that's the deal there. And some people will like them, some people won't. And many people today, like I say, it's why we don't talk about politics, is just you kind of had it up to here and you want a break from it. So that's what we try to do for 3 hours. Eduardo in Tampa will close it out tonight for a few minutes. What's up, Eduardo?
Yeah, I'm going to be working the Bucks game the next two Sundays.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to tell you, maybe another time you can tell me more about Winter Haven, because Patrick Duffy with his wife is going to play over there in Winter Haven.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, we'll talk about that maybe next week.
Absolutely.
And this,
not far from you. You should check it out. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I think it'll be fun. Yeah. And this guy, 8 months to do a big coffee cup mobile trailer.
Uh-huh.
So, you think you heard everything, but yeah.
Yeah.
It took him 8 months.
Yeah,
and he's in South Tampa, but he's going all around in Tampa, and yeah, pretty neat. You get
right.
coffee from a big coffee cup.
Well, why not? You're talking about it, so it worked.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay,
right.
Riley. Well, you have a good weekend.
You too.
We'll talk next week.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Winter Haven is between Tampa and Orlando. If you decide you're not going to take I-4, that's the easiest way to describe it, actually. But we'll talk more about it. So. On that note, Bob keeps us in line. He does a great job of that because, I can't tell time. It's absolutely useless. So he keeps me in line. And he also sends me just like the best stories. And because I am, nothing if not lazy, coming up with stuff when you're not willing to call is difficult, but he makes it a breeze. So bless you to Bob for that. And thanks for keeping us on the air. We thank John, of course, for screening your calls, which sometimes is easy for him to do and other times, well, we have stories. Yes, right. And as far as me, I'm always happy to talk to you. And we'll do it again live Monday night. Tomorrow night's a replay of Monday Night Trivia. And I believe there is a straggler. I don't know. I'll find out. And you will, too, if you listen tomorrow night. But then we'll reconvene Monday at 10 o'clock Central, and we'll do it all over again. Now, until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.